is. Okay, it's recording, so we'll post it on the podcast. I also want to encourage you guys, the podcast we're releasing this week is myself and Porter from Shorter University and Hunter Story, and we're talking about politics and the storming of the Capitol and all the craziness. So I encourage you guys to check that out. It'll publish tomorrow, but I'll publish this afternoon. So anyway, remember, Revelation, Ty, talk to me when it comes to Revelation and the Antichrist and the trumpets and the plagues. Is it ever just one specific thing that we need to look out for? Like, do the plagues represent one specific thing? Or is it more?
No, it's multiple.
Go ahead.
It's like cyclical. It's like the same story being repeated.
Yep. That's definitely what you're looking for. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. But like, so for example, the first beast last weekend that we talked through, right? It represents false government, right? But Alexa, does it represent one false government, like Joe Biden's presidency or Donald Trump's presidency? What does it help answer that?
It's just like the government system in general.
Yes.
It's not one specific person or one specific country. It's in general.
Yes. And these specific countries and people can be examples of the larger thing. So, and that's important, especially like Anna, and it's good for all of us to remember, but like Anna, Revelation will make way more sense if you understand that it's never talking about one specific person, like 99% of the time. It's not talking about one specific person or one specific government or regime or, you know, the four horsemen, death and war and famine. Well, that happens all the time, everywhere. Because, like, think about it. If the evil government here is supposed to be Joe Biden's presidency, well, what are Christians in the 1700s supposed to get from Revelation then? Who cares? Why even read it? You see what I'm saying? And also, if we just take one example from history, Ty, and that's happening in modern day, and we shove it into Revelation, what is that called?
Newspaper eschatology.
Yes, newspaper eschatology, which is where we take something that's happening in the newspaper and we shove it into Revelation. Now, we have to be careful because it is Revelation. It is part of the end times, right? But it's not the only thing, okay? Like North Korea. So North Korea is a government regime that is anti-Christian, that hates Christianity. Revelation is not leading to the government in North Korea, but the government in North Korea is an example of this beast. Just like it wasn't leading up to Hitler or Sharia law in Islam, but those are examples of this government beast that is opposed to Christianity. Does that make sense? So it's not, it does include specific regimes, but it's not all leading up to one specific regime. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page? Anna, does that make sense? Steam coming out of your ears? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. And that's what's so important in Revelation. So as we think about that, let's get back into it. The other thing too, does anyone remember, we just tip of the iceberg last week. What does the second beast represent? What's going on there?
False religion.
False religion. Now, Ty, think about what we just talked about. Does that mean that Revelation 13 is about Joel Osteen?
No.
Right? But also kind of yes? Does that make mm-hmm. sense? So can you explain why I just said that?
It could be for him, but it's just not specific to him because that just represents that just represents one time in history. It could be false religion throughout all of history.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Ty. It's not, and I'm not trying to trash, well, I mean, if I call him a beast from Revelation, I guess I am trashing him. But like, but you know, it's not just him, right? But he's an example of any false religion that tries to feed back into the government system or the world system, okay? that doesn't put Christ first, that just wants to feed into what the rest of the world is doing. Any religion that does that, even specific types of Christianity. Have you guys ever heard of like Preachers and Sneakers on Instagram? It's an Instagram page of like preachers who are in like $700 Gucci shoes. Okay. And not that that immediately makes you a heretic. I mean, I have nice shoes too, but it's promoting, usually it's not just the shoes, right? Like it's not like John Piper preaching in his button down and khakis, oh, and $700 Gucci slides. It's like a whole lifestyle, and they're promoting a lifestyle that doesn't encourage us to die to ourselves. That doesn't, and they usually don't preach sermons that have to do with surrendering our lives to Jesus. It's Christianity, but it's promoting this lifestyle that's just about giving into the world. That's the beast, as well as false religions like Islam and Buddhism and atheism, if you can call it a religion. It's all those things. Okay. All right. So that's the groundwork. Now we'll go back through Revelation 13 and we'll take it a little bit more quickly. Okay. Okay. Let's go. Anna, do you mind reading? Can you read Revelation 13, 1 and 2?
Yes. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority.
Good. Okay. So it's coming from the sea, which is not good, right? Genesis 1, Revelation 21, the sea is the sign of chaos and craziness and evil and danger, right? But there's also more to this beast, right? It has 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 diadems, which matches the description as who or what from earlier in Revelation. Ooh. Ty, Alexa, thoughts on this?
Was that a dragon?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it matches the same description as Satan in 12:3. Okay. So this beast is like an imprint of, an echo of the dragon in Revelation 12. And the dragon in Revelation 12 is Satan. Okay. So this thing is not good. All right. And it comes from the sea and it looks like a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Remember, Alexa, the key to interpreting Revelation is not looking to the future, but looking where?
To the Old Testament.
Back to the Old Testament, right? We're not looking for lions. We're not looking for, you know, all these different things. We look back to Daniel chapter 7, okay? And it's very possible that while John was writing Revelation, he had Daniel open because he's seeing these things fulfilled in his understanding. In Daniel chapter 7, it lists these 4 different beasts. And each beast looks like a lion, a bear, and a leopard. There's 3. And the lion is Babylon. The bear is Persia. Greece is the leopard. So it represents all these other kingdoms that attacked God's people. Babylon overthrows Israel in 2 Kings. Persia is ruling Israel during the time of Esther, Greece during the time of the New Testament. They're ruling over God's people. They're oppressing God's people. And so even today, the church is the new Israel. Any government system that oppresses, that oppresses God's people is the same thing. So that's why, but this fourth beast in Daniel 7 looks much different, which everyone pretty much agrees that this fourth beast was probably Rome, the Roman Empire. Remember, Revelation applies to us, but it also directly applied to John's original audience. So like they didn't know who North Korea was, but they knew about Rome and how Christians were thrown to lions and how Christians were burned in Nero's garden, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Verse 2. The dragon gave his power and his throne great authority. So Satan is empowering any government system that directly opposes Christianity, okay? It is the decisions of the people to be evil, but Satan is behind, there's a bigger narrative, right? Satan is behind these things, trying to attack and oppress God's people. Think about Pharaoh, right, in Exodus. Yes, it was Pharaoh's deal, but he tried to kill all the firstborn males of Israel, right? Well, if you do that, then they can't have children. Well, eventually, if they can't have children, there's no Jesus because Jesus comes from Israel. You see, so it is an immediate thing, but Satan is behind the scenes working. The dragon is giving power to the beast. Ty, can you do 3 through 5?
One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months.
Good. Okay. So one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but the mortal wound was healed. This is confusing. This is strange. It's got a wound that it looks like he should be dead, but he's not dead, okay? That's what's going on with this beast. And remember, Alexa, the number one thing about Revelation being apocalyptic is that it is what?
Symbolic.
Symbolic. This isn't a real thing. It's symbolizing something. So it could represent one of two things. Either one, Satan has been defeated by Christ on the cross. He's been killed, but he is still able to persecute Christians. He can't ultimately win. But he's allowed to kill Christians. He can't pull them into hell or anything, but he's still very much alive. He's on his way down, okay? That's one scenario. The other scenario is like any society that worships anything but God, that worships sex, that worships money and power, eventually that society collapses on itself. And we think if we read history, we're like, oh, well, that was stupid. We're never going to end up like them. And yet, here we go. It's like that evil is coming back to life. It's like that beast has been destroyed. Dictatorships don't work. And here comes North Korea. Here comes communist China. Here, you see what I'm saying? Like it just keeps happening. This beast, this oppressive government evil just keeps coming back to life. It's probably a mixture of both, but that's what that means. Questions on that? Does that make sense? Are you able to kind of follow that? Okay. All right. They worship the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. Who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? Who is like the beast in verse 4 is straight out of Exodus 15, 11. They're worshiping the beast. The government just seems all powerful. Think about think about Rome, right? Rome touched the entire world at the time. It was this massive, powerful entity, okay? Anytime a massive government force is gaining momentum, that's still within the plan, right? It's still in the plan of Revelation. Verse 5, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It's blasphemous. Remember in verse 1, it had blasphemous names written on its head. To blaspheme is to do what, Anna? What does to blaspheme mean? It's a big church word. Let's test your inner church kid.
Basically to say that you're God or that you have God's authority.
Good. To say that you are God or that you have God's authority. Anytime a government takes God's law and pushes it out of the way, legalizing abortion, no-fault divorce, other things like that, and there are tons of examples, but anytime it pushes God's law out of the way for their own, that's blasphemy. My way is better, right? It opened its mouth. Okay, and it is allowed to exercise authority. Oh, and it's given a mouth, right? It's given a mouth. Now, that's huge, right? Because the mouth represents false doctrine. It's not given a sword or a cannon or a helicopter or whatever. It's a mouth. Now you think about that, because if it was a cannon or a laser, then it would only apply to a certain time period, right? Lasers weren't invented in the 1400s, but governments spewing false beliefs has been in existence since the ancient times. Again, it's a there's a timelessness to Revelation, right? It doesn't represent just, now Rome is what these people would immediately think, and they would be right. But Rome is an example of a greater picture, right? Of all oppressive systems of government. And like governments didn't kill people, like Hitler didn't kill people by shouting at them, but he spewed false doctrine that led to people's deaths, that led to killings of Christians and numerous people, right? So the beast is given a mouth, and through the mouth, it defames God, and it is allowed to exercise authority for how long, Alexa, in verse 5?
42 months.
42 months, which is the same as 3.5 years, or time times and half a time, 1,260 days. Ty, tell me about this period of time. What is it? What's going on?
It's a time of suffering.
Yes.
For the church.
Yes. It is the church age, okay? It is the 42-month period, the 42... just a couple of examples again. When Moses was wandering through the wilderness, they encamped in 42 different places. It took them 42 years to get to the promised land, right? 42 is a symbolic wilderness time period. Elijah calls famine for unbelief for 3.5 years. So it's this time of testing and judgment for 3.5 years, which is the whole church age, which is from Acts chapter 2 till whenever Jesus comes back. So we're in it right now. And this is why we know it's not one specific government, right? North Korea hasn't been around for the entire church age. You see what I'm saying? Islam hasn't been around for the entire church age, okay? You know, whatever, you fill in the blank, right? Napoleon hasn't been around the entire church age. Like, it represents all oppressive governments during this age. Anna, can you read 6-8?
It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make a war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain.
Good. Okay, so essentially the big message here is that the government, these types of governments are allowed to make war on unbelievers, okay? Devin, what's up, man? Good to see you, buddy. We're digging into Revelation 13. Just feel free to hang out and chat. So Revelation 13, Anna just read, what was Anna, 6-8? Yeah. So this beast, this government, is allowed to make war on all Christians, okay? It's not this idea of coercion, of persuasion. It's coercion. It's not your friend. It's a violence against Christians. And again, immediate Christians back then would think of Rome, okay? And look at in 8, let's see. Oh no, I lost it. Hang on. Where'd it go? There, in verse 7, sorry. Authority is given over tribe, people, language, and nation, which I've talked through with Alexa so many times, is 4. 4 represents in Revelation the four corners of the world. 4 represents globally in Revelation, because Revelation is apocalyptic, and apocalyptic is big on numbers, right? So, okay. So that's going on. That's pretty solid. Anna, can you just read 8?
And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain.
Good. So those who dwell on earth, Ty, what does that mean, those who dwell on earth?
They're non-believers.
Earth dwellers is non-believers. Look in verse 6 where it says those who dwell in heaven. Well, how is the government going to make war on these people if they dwell in heaven? They're already in heaven. They're not in heaven yet. They live on earth, but their home is in heaven, right? Those who dwell on the earth sounds confusing, like everyone, but it really means those who have made their home here Our home is not here, right? Okay, so the government makes war on them. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. There really needs to be like a whole sermon on this. We will see it again. But this is the idea of one of the reasons Christians are protected is because they have been protected from before the world began. Their names have already, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, your name has already been written in the book of life, in the list of all those who will be saved and who are being saved. You've already been secured from before the foundation of the world. This is a topic called election. Some people are not on board with election, but I love the idea of election because it's a huge way of safety. John MacArthur always says, if you could lose, you know, you can't lose your salvation. But John MacArthur says, if you could lose your salvation, you would lose your salvation because we're sinful, because we give in to so many things. Ooh, Ty, show me the cover of that book, man.
This one?
Yeah. Ty got the commentary as well. Look how happy they all look to be studying Revelation. especially the guy who's like this. So this is a good thing, okay? This is a good concept. A lot of people, especially from the past generation, push back against election for reasons that we can get into way later. But it's in Revelation. This is one of the ways that John believes the saints are safe, is that they were elected for safety before the world was even created. If God thought of you before the entire world was created, that means that part of the reason the world was created was so that he could get to you. Think about that. If God thought of you and wanted to save you before he created the world, he's got a plan to save Alexa. Well, in order to save Alexa, there has to be a world for her to live in, so I'll build that. And then history has to take place in order for me to get to her, so I'll organize it that way. He's got us in mind the entire way through history. All of history is designed for God's church, for the election and salvation of God's people. It's a mind-blowing doctrine. So anyway, Alexa, can you read 9 and 10?
Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is going to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people.
Nice. Okay. So first of all, in verse 9, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. That's usually what Jesus says when he might say something that's difficult to take in, not to understand, but wow, this is a tough truth. And he says, if anyone is to be taken captive to captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword, he must be slain. The greatest cause of death throughout history, even if you take war out of it, has been persecution by the state. Okay. Christians were taken, and John's people would know exactly, right? If anyone's to be taken captive, he'll go to captivity. If anyone's to be killed by the sword, he'll be killed. This is the time of endurance and faith for the saints. He doesn't say, don't worry, I'm going to get you out of here. He says, this is the time for you to endure. Sometimes God puts seasons in our life that he's not going to get us out of. Does that make sense? That there's a testing, there's a good, deeper relationship being forged there. It's a time of endurance. And I definitely think that COVID is one of those. It's clearly not going anywhere that I'm aware of, right? So while we go through this time period, of course we can ask God for it to end. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But our heart posture shouldn't be, I'm so ready for this to be over. It should be, okay, I get to go deeper with God here. Lord, help me learn more about you. Help me go deeper because I don't want to. But as we change our heart posture, that's what he's after here. He's in total control, but it's a time for us to faithfully endure. And that's what's going on in Revelation. When we're oppressed by the government, right? When we're oppressed by the government, we may not be able to vote our way out of it next term or whatever, right? We may be, and we should vote, and that's great. But God may be calling us to endure. And I think that's part of what happens with some Christians is that they're so desperate to get out of this season that maybe they turn to political candidates that they don't fully understand how bad it could get. But the whole reason they did that is because their heart posture is not, let's endure this faithfully. It's, okay, let's get the heck out of here. And we're going to do whatever we can to get out of here quicker. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about this heart posture. So that's the first beast, the beast from the sea, the oppressive systems of government, or not. And it doesn't have to be governments that take us off to jail. It could just be governments that don't obey God's laws, right? So anyway, so that's there. Questions on the first beast before we get into the second one and finish this off? Everybody good? Everybody on the same page? All right, let's get into the next one. Ty, can you read 11 through 13? No, just do 11 and 12.
Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed.
Good. So there's another beast coming out of the earth now, and it has two horns because it looks like what, Alexa, in verse 11? It looks like
a lamb.
A lamb, but Alexa, what does it speak like?
A dragon.
Now, it doesn't mean dragon as in scary. It means dragon as in the dragon of Revelation 13 and 12. And Ty, who is that dragon?
Satan.
Good. So this thing looks like Jesus. It looks like a lamb. But out of its mouth, again, the mouth is the key weapon in Revelation. But out of its mouth comes false teaching, false doctrine, even chicken noodle soup for the soul, live, laugh, love, you are what you make the world, et cetera, et cetera. There's a satanic tinge to it because it doesn't have the gospel in it. Does that make sense? Not that you can't hang, you know, live, laugh, love, Satan, right? You can't, I'm not trying to bash decorating, but that lifestyle, right? Do you appreciate that, Alexa? That lifestyle, that philosophy, all that false teaching stems from Satan, okay? It stems from him and from people foolishly straying away from the Bible, okay? But it looks good. Live, laugh, love is awesome. That's a great motto for life. It sounds good, but it can't do anything to change your heart. Does that make sense? Yeah, do the best you can. Well, that's a good strategy, and we should do the best we can, but ultimately, it's not about our best. It's about God giving his best for us, right? So that's key. It exercises, verse 12, it exercises all authority of the beast in his presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants, again, the earth dwellers, worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Now, remember, Revelation has immediate context in John's day, and it applies to us. The immediate context in John's day, this was probably what was called the imperial cult. The religious leaders who made people worship Caesar, they're literally making you worship the government. They're literally making you worship the first beast. We don't really have that today. But again, it's any, well, one, I think it is pastors who preach too much politics in the pulpit. Like they make Jesus political. Does that make sense? Now, there are parts in the Bible that are political and we should preach those, but Jesus is not Republican. He's not, everyone, we're still okay. He's not Democrat. He's not, but when we make him that, we're doing this because now it's not about a savior. It's about a platform. You see what I mean? So it represents any false religious system that makes you feed into the government system, okay? So anyway, or just the way of the world. Ty, read just, yeah, do 13 and 14.
It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived.
Okay, so it performs miracles. All right, this is where we just don't know. I don't think it's literal miracles here, okay? Does anyone remember who in the Old Testament calls down fire from heaven? I guess there are multiple answers, but
I mean, wasn't there like one time where there, I don't know who, like what his name was, but he was praying to like our God, and then there's another group that was talking to another God, and they tried to get fire, and they couldn't get fire, but he did.
Good, Alexa. So this that was is so a, big. No, that was great. It was not. Trust me, when it comes to fire coming down, I don't think there's any vagueness to it. That was Elijah. Okay, that's Elijah. Yeah. I think it's in 2 Kings. It might be in 1 Kings, but I can't remember. It's in one of the two Kingses. But yeah, so that's Elijah. And what John, I think, is doing here, Elijah was a prophet, okay? And this is where we get the idea that this beast is the false prophet, because he's doing what Elijah did, but he's a bad guy. Does that make sense? So I don't know that this means he's going to, or the false religious system. Remember, it's not a specific person. I don't think this means miracle workers. I think it's just John is trying to show us he's like a prophet. I don't think we're supposed to look for literal miracles here. One, because Revelation is apocalyptic, and that means, Ty, that it is what?
Symbolic.
Symbolic, right? And John is just trying to paint the picture of a prophet. Does that make sense? He doesn't mean for you to take it literally, okay? It's like saying, I don't know, Ty's the kind of guy that I feel like would just have a fishing rod in his hand. Well, Ty doesn't have a fishing rod in his hand. I just mean he's a nice country guy. Does that make sense? You get what I'm saying? Ty, I don't know if that's you. I'm just using an example.
I got you.
Does that, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, you know Anna's in there with an apron on baking a cake. Well, she's not literally wearing an apron. There's no cake, unfortunately. There's no cake. But I'm trying to explain the type of person she is. Does that make sense? He's calling down fire from heaven, man. Well, he's not literally doing that. But I'm trying to paint the picture for you that he's like a prophet. He's like the prophets of old, the way people would listen to him. But he's a false prophet. Does that make sense? Now, here's the other side of that. Could it be literal? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. But it just goes to show signs and wonders is not the same thing as preaching and teaching. Okay? Think about all the miraculous signs Jesus did in the Gospels and how few people believed him. But when Jesus, and in early in Mark, Jesus is performing miracles, but then he says, we've got to go to another town where I can preach and teach because that is why I have come. Okay? Signs and wonders don't, they can't change somebody's heart. That's not what they're for. Okay? So even if you see signs and wonders, don't automatically believe the message. Weigh it against the book, right? We have to think, and we'll get there later on. So the presence of the beast, 14, by the signs it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, right? Telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded and yet lived. Making an image is this idea of idolatry, okay? In the Left Behind books, the Antichrist is literally a person, which is wrong, and his name is Nikolai Carpathia, and they make a statue of him, okay? And the statue comes to life. It's very bizarre, but it's a great page turner, okay? But it's wrong. I don't think there's gonna be an actual statue, right? So like if people freak out, and I'm not trying to bash, but if your grandparents freak out because someday we build a statue for Barack Obama, it's not the image of the beast. Okay, does that make sense? Because I promise you, people are going to think that. Or Donald Trump, or Elvis, or you name it, okay, right? That's not what that is. It's a symbol. It's a metaphor. He's saying there, the false religion that just lets you go with the rest of the world is going to eventually lead to you worshiping the world, idolizing the world, right? Okay, Ty, you did such a good job. Let's do 15 and 16.
All right. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead.
We're getting into the good stuff. Okay, so first of all, notice that this false religion causes Christians to be killed by the first beast, which is the government. Did you see that when Ty read that? Gives breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. When it gives breath to the beast, that just means the false religion is part of what makes the government continue to be so oppressive. It gives, okay, prime example. This is so lame. Alexander Hamilton, right? The musical Hamilton. Hamilton dies dueling with Burr, right? Aaron Burr. In actual history, dueling was illegal at that point. But when Hamilton died as a result of dueling, pastors vehemently preached against it. One of the reasons dueling is not around in America anymore is because the clergy spoke out against it so intensely. But if the church had not done so, had just backed off on dueling, it would still be continuing that evil system of dueling. You see what happens when the church doesn't speak truth to power? The power just keeps doing whatever it wants. And that's what happens with false religion. That's why it gives, if the president ruled that every woman in the country had to sleep with him and no one in the church said no, then it would, and like other churches were like, well, it's all about love being love and blah, blah, blah. Like they just facilitate this evil system. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Does that make sense? It gives, the false religion gives breath to the government. And again, in Rome, the imperial cult was saying, you must worship Caesar or you'll die. They were literally giving breath to how horrible the government was. So anytime Carl Lentz of Hillsong New York was asked about abortion, and he was basically just like, you do you, man. Well, that's not helpful at all. And so it just continues to facilitate. It just continues. You're just not putting up any roadblocks to abortion at all, Carl. You see what I'm saying? It continues to fuel that system. Okay, we beat that to death. It gives breath to the image of the beast so the image of the beast might speak and cause those who would not worship it to be killed. It's clear that we haven't gotten here in America yet, but it's this idea of this false religion is whatever sways public opinion against Christianity. This false religion is causing Christians to be killed. It's causing them to be hated, which is why it's so important to preach only the Bible, because as soon as you start wandering away from the Bible, it starts to make the Bible dangerous and bad and alienating it, okay? 16, first of all, questions on that? Do you guys understand what I mean now, that it gives breath to the beast and it helps Christians be killed? Okay. Also, it causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be, I'm trying to see what this means. Okay, free and slave, not to be marked on the right hand or the forehead. Okay, here's where we get to the mark of the beast, all right? You see where that comes from. You get a mark. It's from the beast, okay? That's where it comes from. On the right hand and on the forehead. Now, Alexa, the key to interpreting Revelation is not going where, but going where instead.
You don't look forward, you look back to the Old Testament.
This is not the vaccine. Okay, this is not the vaccine. I got my vaccine like a week ago, and I'm telling you, it's not the vaccine, okay? This is an example. But Ty, if I said it was the vaccine, that would be a bad example of what?
Newspaper eschatology.
Newspaper eschatology, which is what people are doing, right? It's on the right hand and the forehead. By the way, I got the vaccine on my left shoulder. Still not there. Your right hand and your forehead, okay? This represents thoughts and actions. Does that make sense? Your forehead, your mind, your thoughts, your right hand is your actions. And we know this for several reasons, okay? But specifically, Ezekiel 9, 4 through 6, and Exodus 13, 9 through 10. Exodus 13, 9 through 10. While I'm going, Ty, can you turn to Exodus 13, 9 and 10?
Yep.
So while Ty's turning there, here are a couple of other examples here, though. Alexa, in verse 1 of this chapter, what is on the beast, the first beast? What's on it?
The horns with the heads and the crowns.
Something else, though. Something else. At the end of the
verse. A blasphemous name.
These names are written on it. Well, we've already discussed how that's symbolic. It's not a literal beast with markings on it. The blasphemous names written on it represented that it was all about blaspheming. Does that make sense? So if in this very same chapter, there are literal things written on it that aren't literal, why do we all of a sudden take these marks to be literal? Does that make sense? Ty, can you read Exodus 13, 9 and 10?
And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep the statute at its appointed time from year to year.
So you see how already in Exodus, we've got this idea of the hand and between the eyes. It just means and he says, you'll keep this statute from year to year. You've got to remember this. So it's got to stay on your hand. It's got to stay in your head. Everywhere you look, everything you think, you've got to remember the Lord's the one who brought you out of here. It's just this idea. Now, if it's this idea of total commitment to an ideal, let's look at 16 again. 15 and 16. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might speak and cause those who had not worshiped the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead. 17. Anna, go ahead and read 17.
So that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name.
So if the beast represents all false religion, how are all false religion? That's a lot to put on. Does that make sense? Like, if it's not a literal thing, you can't get a literal mark on you. So what does it mean then? Take a swing here. Ty, if it's not a literal mark, but it's something with you all the time and it represents the government and the false prophet, what is he trying to say here? Think about Exodus as well. What's going on?
I guess it's like how you live your life.
Exactly. That is the perfect answer. It's just this idea of your whole lifestyle. Think about how many people have already been canceled or blacklisted because they're churches that don't perform gay weddings. Or in Islam, if you don't adhere to Sharia law, you're thrown in prison or worse. Do you see what I'm saying? It's already here and it's been here forever. Think about how many Christians were burned to death during the Reformation because they didn't believe the Lord's Supper was the literal body and blood of Jesus, or they wouldn't baptize their infant. They were drowned to death sometimes because they wouldn't baptize their infant, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't, which is why the reformers thought the Antichrist was the Pope and the Roman Catholic system. Again, it's all throughout history. You see, over and over this happens. And literally, again, literal context was Rome. In Rome, you literally, Christians were shut out from the marketplace if they didn't worship Caesar, right? You literally couldn't buy or sell. But for us, it literally means that you can't engage in daily life with people. Oh, don't talk to Ty. Ty's a Christian. He won't go do this stuff with us, so I guess he's out of our group. You've been alienated from those people because of your belief, because you won't put the mark of the beast, the mark of false religion. That's not how I live my life. That's not how I think these thoughts. So you see what I'm saying? It's not a literal mark. I've heard people that talk about how the vaccine has a microchip in it and it tracks you. And it's all from Revelation. It's all from a literal mark of the beast, right? Questions on that before we finish this thing out?
If you don't I have like the Bible that has like the study mm-hmm. piece at the bottom. And it says for mine, it is designed to mock the seal that God places on his forehead, like okay. of his followers.
Yeah.
So how does that?
Yeah, good question. Good question. So the question is, there is a sign that God puts on the forehead of his followers. And that's true. So first of all, I would look back to Exodus 13 and Ezekiel 9, like Ty read, like the ones that are already there. But also we've got in Revelation 2:17, it says that believers are given a new name, which is not a literal new name, but it means it was about being with Jesus. And then in 7:3, I do want to look this up first. Revelation 7:3 says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So
yeah, that's the part it marks on perfect. My Bible.
So Revelation 7:3, that literally just means those who believe, those who are marked believing. Well, the satanic opposition of that is, well, we also have a mark. We are also marked by, you're marked by what you believe, if that makes sense. So yeah, Alexa, it's just, I think that commentary in your Bible is correct. It's a false thing. It's also a mockery, but it ultimately, the point is it's not a literal mark on anyone's forehead, okay? Or hand. All right, let's finish this out. Okay, Ty, can you read 17 and 18?
So that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Oh my gosh, there we go. Okay, first of all, don't ever, if a book in the Bible has six chapter, is in the sixth chapter in the 66th verse, that verse is written by Satan. The Bible wasn't even originally written with verses, right? So that doesn't make any sense. 666 doesn't stand for Ronald Wilson Reagan, which all have six letters in it. First of all, not everyone's alphabet works that way. So again, shoving it into Revelation is an example of what, Alexa?
Newspaper eschatology.
Newspaper eschatology. It's not Nero. Again, not everyone's alphabet is the same, and Nero only works if you spell it wrong. There are so many, guys. There are like 50 different ways you can do 666. You can make it anything you want, which, first of all, if it's a clue from John, it's a horrible clue because so many people's names fit into it. Does that make sense? Second of all, if a name, okay, there's a name for this. It's called gematria, which is where A is 1, B is 2, C is 3. First of all, again, not everyone's alphabet starts like that. So that's kind of not cool. But also, that system, gematria, didn't exist when this was written, okay? So to think like that with 666 is to take something and put it into the Bible instead of letting the Bible speak for itself, which is what we try to do. Does that make sense? Second of all, Alexa, Revelation is apocalyptic. What's one of the big telltales of apocalyptic genre?
The numbers are symbolic as well.
Numbers are symbolic. We've already had 144,000, right? Revelation 7. We've had seven churches. We've had two witnesses, right? We've had all these numbers already that we've already explained are symbolic. So why would 666 all of a sudden be literal? Which, by the way, when you see people with 666 tattooed on their face, you don't have to think, oh, he's from Satan. You can think, what a waste of a tattoo, because that's not even what it means. It literally doesn't mean that. Do you see what I'm saying? So that you literally don't have to be afraid of them because they got a tattoo that doesn't mean anything. That's the wrong tattoo. I just think that's so funny because they're trying to be so scary and demonic, but even Satan is like, oh my, that's not what that means. Like, you know what I mean? I just think it's so funny. Anyway, okay, 666, what's going on? What are we talking about? It actually stands for Oprah. I'm just kidding. So 666, what is the number of perfection in the Bible? What's the number
seven.
Of perfection? Seven, okay. Three is also this number meaning like wholeness, right? The Trinity, okay? Jesus's inner circle was three, right? Job has three comforters, et cetera, et cetera. And they do a terrible job, but it's okay. So seven is the idea of perfection. That's all throughout the Bible, okay? And we've got this false prophet who's on the scene, who looks like Jesus, who is as close to looking like Jesus as you can get, but he's not Jesus. You've also got the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three. You've got the three woes. You've got holy, 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 right? So think about it. You have holy, holy, holy earlier in Revelation, and then you've got the three woes with the trumpets. So the three woes is kind of this perverted holy, holy, holy. Does that make sense? Three sixes is this perverted idea of what three sevens would be, which is perfection, which is God, which is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 666 is really close to perfection, but it's glaringly not. 666 is close to perfection, close enough even to deceive someone. But it's really what's called, and I'm just looking at my notes here, it's this idea of it's the number of humanity. It looks like God. Think about it in context of the whole chapter. The beast from the earth looks like God. It maybe even sounds good, but it's not God. It's satanic. It's horrible. It will lead to destruction. It is blatantly not God. That's what 666 is. 18, this calls for wisdom. If 666 means Ronald Wilson Reagan, that doesn't require wisdom. Does that make sense? You just have to know the code. An 8-year-old could figure out the code, right? But it does require wisdom if 666 represents a system that is really close to God, but is not God, that calls fire down from heaven, but can't convert the soul. Think about how many people would follow me if I called fire down from heaven, but I don't have the power to change anyone's heart. That's, you gotta have wisdom to know, I know he did that. I saw him call fire down from heaven too, but he doesn't teach anything that is about Jesus. That requires wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number for the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Does anyone else have anything different than it is the number of a man? Or is it man in yours? Anna, what you got?
Mine is still just the number of a man.
Okay, cool. The fact that it says a man is where some people think, oh, it must be a specific person. Does that make sense? It must be Antichrist. But it really means it is the number of man. It's the number of mankind. And the number of a man can mean the same thing. Like, it's the number of a baseball player. Like, that can still represent all baseball players. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean we're supposed to be looking for a specific person. And throughout this entire book, we've seen how it all is symbolic for greater systems. It can't just be one person, because that doesn't make sense. That doesn't apply to everybody. So 666 is this idea, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it's a whole system. It's all of mankind. If you're beautiful and wealthy and powerful, that's about as close to God as you can get in America, but you're not God. And in fact, if you try to treat other people with, well, if you'll just be beautiful like me, then you'll be happy. Then you've got young women and men destroying their bodies, trying to get beautiful. Or if you'll just be wealthy like me, boy, that does sound really good. And money is good, right? But you have people never spending time with their children so that they can make more money in their businesses. So they're sacrificing their kids. I heard a guy say one time, child sacrifice still exists today, except it's in Wall Street and not in a temple. You see what he means? That's profound. Like, we still sacrifice our children. It's just for our careers, not to a false God. And then like power, I will take out any friendship if it gets me higher up the ladder. Power sounds great, but it really looks kind of satanic if you do it that way. So that's what 666 is. That's man's number. If we try to become like God, Matt Chandler said about the storming of the Capitol, That's what happens when humanity wants the kingdom without consulting the king. Getting the kingdom sounds good, but look at how satanic it became. That is 666. It's the closest, it looks like God. There's even three of them. There's even a trinity of sixes, but it's not God. It's not perfection. And the fact, and I don't mean it's not perfection, like here's perfection and like, ooh, it's so close. No, if you trust in money, sex, and power, you'll destroy yourself and all the people around you. It's satanic. Does that make sense when we think of 666? Do you guys follow that? Questions about that? Anna, still alive? Doing okay? So that's what John means. 666 is just a way of explaining that. It's not a code. It's not, and it would be, it's such a bad clue. Because how are we supposed to ever figure that out? And what about cultures that don't do numbers? You know what I mean? Like cultures that don't really do tallies and counts, and it just can't apply like that. And also, you know, so in the Left Behind books, you literally, he had to give you this like stamp, this mark of the beast. And this guy in the book doesn't want the mark. He wants to be a Christian. And his family, literally like eight of them, hold him down and give him this mark. And he goes into this huge time of despair. And subplots of the book is, man, is this guy a Christian? Is he not? Because he got the mark. And even before I was a believer, I remember thinking, that is such crap. Like, because, pardon my language, I guess, but he wants to follow Jesus. That should be it. It doesn't, an outside mark doesn't do anything in here. You see what I'm saying? So those are just some things. Does that give Alexa and Ty, especially, does that give more clarity to Revelation 13? I know last week we bit off a huge chunk. Anna, do you see how like, and these themes will repeat themselves about how Revelation is not one thing. It's a system of things. And we see these systems repeated throughout time. Is COVID part of Revelation? Absolutely. Death and war and strife and all these things. But Revelation has not been leading up to COVID. COVID is just like Revelation wasn't leading up to the Civil War. But the Civil War is part of the four horsemen of death and destruction. So does that make sense to everybody? All right. Are we all on the same page? Okay, cool. Well, that is it for this week. We'll jump into Revelation 14 next week, the first half of it. I think Revelation 15 is only like eight verses, so we might do that one in one day. But anyway, we'll go through it in pieces. I don't know, guys. I don't know what the future holds really this week. I hope that we can do some sort of a meeting on Thursday. We may not start till February. I'm not sure, but I'll be in touch with you guys, okay? And Alexa, I'll actually be at Barry Wednesday for lunch encounter, if you can make it.
Okay.
So anyway, all right, love you guys. Ty, can you pray us out and we'll be done?
Sure. Lord, we thank you so much for the lesson we received and this opportunity to fellowship with fellow Christians. And we ask that you just allow us to dive back into this and just dig deeper into it throughout the week and just spend more time with you. And just be with us and allow us to have a safe week, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Love you guys. Talk to y'all later, okay? Bye.